SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this going to be?
Moneyline.
Oh! Are you kidding me? Humbly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
And away we go here on a Tuesday afternoon. The best hour of your day is now officially underway because it is Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. It's SiriusXM Channel 159. It's how we do it. And we got the NBA back in our lives tonight. Full Major League Baseball slate. A lot of hot topics to get to. Are you ready for this day, Kevin? Are you ready to cover what the people need you to cover?
Listen, I'm ready. Is the FanDuel Sportsbook ready? I am missing a market.
Wow.
Then I don't know where it is. Popular player combos. These were available, I know, plenty in Mavs Thunder. Now, the market is there. So you might be like, wow, K-Dub losing his sight. No, it's there. It's just the one that I specifically want has not been there, but they have.
What do we need?
Annie. I want Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined points. I'm willing to go for 60, but they're not giving me any Tatum-Brown point combinations. And I don't know why.
I'm going to give you the perfect point combination for that game tonight, Kevin. You ready for it?
Sure.
Take this combo. All the players on the Celtics will record at least 115.5 points. It's the only thing you need. It's team total tonight. It's the only thing you need. I look at this and finally say to myself, I do believe that the Pacers are going to score tonight. And when I mean score, not like, hey, man, 91 points, because they can do it. And they also play no defense. I think the tempo will be there. I love overs earlier in series than I do late in the series because teams start to know each other and the games ratchet up. It's like an NBA All-Star game, right? Like, hey, freewheeling for the first, quarter, two quarters into the third quarter. All right, let's play a little bit of defense here. That's basically how the series goes, 1-7. So I like the Celtics. I think they get off on offense. Like, I actually like Tatum over 29.5, but it just sounds so steep. Jaylen Brown's in the mid-20s. I like Al Horford because, we're not going to have any Kristaps Porzingis, and he might be able to shoot 10 threes if he's wide open tonight. I like the bench guys in case it's a blowout. There's a lot to like about the Celtics, and I say to myself, if I like all of this stuff together, does that just mean they're going to score some points tonight? So I just went team total. I said, you know what? I'll root everybody to hit jump shots and not get angry when certain guys don't make certain shots.
Yeah, I think that makes plenty of sense instead of trying to narrow in on one guy if you love the full group. And also, it gets you out of laying double digits, right, in this opening game here. So I think that gives you a safety valve. I feel like a part of me would say I'd rather just play the over instead of just that Boston team total. Because here's my thing, Donnie, and I know sometimes it can be dangerous to operate this way, but you said 115.5?
Yes.
So you're kind of expecting them to hit 120 points.
Yes. I think they score north of 120, I do, tonight. Yes.
You don't want to just grab the 222 then.
I like that. I do like it. Like, I was trying to say, like, if I was just, because I like points tonight. I don't like the side. Forget about it. I could see it going either way. I could see the Celtics winning a blowout, or you still get some of that momentum off a Game 7 victory in the Garden for the Pacers. I think we do get over 221.5. I think certain guys on the Celtics do score, and I love, like, my favorite bet out of all of those is I just want to worry about the Celtics offense because I don't think the Pacers play any defense, and that'll show up.
All right. Yeah. I think over the course of the series, right, you would expect Boston to average 115 plus.
Yes.
Yeah. I just think in this exact spot, I look at that full total. If I was expecting Boston, again, put up a $120, I'd be hard to leave the Pacers offense out of it, right?
Yeah.
You lean towards the Celtics on that 10.5. I would play Indiana on the 10.5. Indiana.
Because I don't think we've gotten a good glimpse. And now, granted, I say this and it almost contradicts myself. Celtics were really good all season long. But I just feel in the playoffs, we just haven't seen the Boston Celtics play a team that's like, oh, you want to make a shot? Yeah, we'll make one too. It's like, all right, we just made a shot and kind of offense. offense you got going on down this court here, pal, which means the Cleveland Cavaliers offense and the Miami Heat offense. It's a different approach they're going to take, so it's hard to lay the... That's why I'm struggling with the 10.5 either way, because I can see the Boston Celtics 125-105 and be like, yep, that's what we expected. Or 114, which would suck for me, 113. Like, oh, man, that was a close game, and the Pacers were right in there. I could see it both ways. That's why I'm staying away from that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I guess because, though, you put more... You trust that Boston offense, right?
Yes.
Which is really
yes.
the key. And yeah. You know, that's why you play the team totals.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we'll see if they post that. Because, Donnie, they usually, you know, when you do those 60 combinations, right, you're like, all right, listen, it's going to be tough though, for both guys to get 30. Like,
yep.
Now, that's kind of what we were getting when these teams were meeting in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to take a swing at, hey, is that how we can start this series? Because you should be getting, you know, some type of plus money, I want to say, for... You know, them to combine for 30. Even if it's like plus 125, I would take a stab at that tonight. But it doesn't look like they're going to be giving us that situation here on FanDuel, which is a bit of a shame.
And by the way, I got a bone to pick, so I'm going to start here with this. Ready for this?
Giancarlo Stanton, come out with your hands up. You robbed Donnie Wright's side, and you must pay the consequences.
If anybody knows what I'm talking about yesterday, I had a, granted, Kevin knows this, like behind the scenes, I'm working really hard on 1.5 runs, mm-hmm. hits, and RBI scored at this point. Having fun, not really making money with it yesterday, but I still always have fail safes in there. So yesterday, I was like, let me just pick the three favorite guys I like to get RBI. One was Wensiel Perez of the Detroit Tigers. He didn't get an RBI. One guy who gets one every single night, that's Kyle Tucker. He cashed in the ninth inning of his game last night. But the game that I was watching was Giancarlo Stanton. I said to myself, boy, he's in the middle of that lineup. That lineup is raking right now. It's going to be a lot of guys on base. I just need to get his mammoth home run shot or just put a few guys on base and give me a 300-foot fly ball. And it is rare, Kevin, that you get within two innings, two times at the plate, first and third, one out, bases loaded, one out. My guy grounds into a double play both times. Like,
whoa.
I almost rather the strikeout, Kevin.
Whoa!
Within two
really?
Innings. Yes, men on the corner, bases loaded, both with one out, ground ball to the left side, ground ball to the left side. And I was like, you know what? Because this was before, like, Kyle Tucker even got in. So you start going to that mode, like, I hope Kyle Tucker actually doesn't get an RBI, because this one's going to sting. Because even if you're only playing a $100 round robin, which means $33.33 a bet, like, if you hit them all, it's like $700 or $800, which wasn't going to happen. But if at least you hit one, Kevin, it's like, you know, between on the odds, $350 to $400 back in your pocket. And this guy, I mean, all he had to do was hit a slow grounder, a base hit, a fly ball anywhere, and these runs are coming home at this point, and it didn't happen yesterday. So that was my, come on, Stanton, part of the night here. So I was really upset with that. And then Yanks ninth inning, sort of one of those, look, if I'm not going to cash in on the Yankees, just lose the game, and they did.
Which, obviously, though, there's got to be a party. Like, what happens if we get to extras here? Does this help my guy?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or not?
Extras are
now,
so good at that 1.5. Yeah.
I got a good one for you yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Gray in a parlay with Logan Gilbert, each to pitch six innings.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Gilbert cruises to his six. Mm-hmm. Sonny Gray through five innings, Donnie, has not been touched by the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
They are getting absolutely rocked by Sonny Gray, who entered that inning with a no-hitter.
Yep.
A no-hitter. 50-some-odd pitches on the board. And he couldn't get three outs, and I lost that parlay. He goes 5 2/3 innings.
It's almost like you get to the point, it's like, just spray it around. Get a double in the gap, get a strikeout. Get another double in the gap, get a strikeout. Get another double in the gap, get a strikeout, and get out of the inning. It's like, no, you know. So I didn't watch the game, but I assume 5 2/3 innings, which means he gave up. And what, by the way, he's only listed with one earned run. So he was probably got himself in a little bit of trouble, gave up a run or two, and like, all right, let's just pull the guy out at this point because he can't get out of this inning. Unbelievable, man. Tough scene.
Insane.
Sonny was struggling the past couple starts, had a bounce back there. Dean Kramer got rocked last night. But I got a lot of good shots tonight, too. It is Dinger Tuesday, and some guys are really lining up, including two games, Kevin, with 80-degree temperatures and winds blowing out at close to 20 miles per hour. We'll talk about that much more next.
sportsgrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. sportsgrid.com.
That hot target tonight is Dinger Tuesday on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, cooking up some hot action, which will include Willie Calhoun now to a plus 680 price. Now, let me tell you about last week. I put seven bets in on Dinger Tuesday. Didn't hit any of the seven for home run shots. Got maybe $40 back, I want to say, in a bonus bet. So wasn't all that bad. And I bet a bonus bet, which was the very next day. Or I waited 2 days, and I went in the Rory McIlroy. I used those bets on to go par or better on the first three holes of the PGA, which he hit. So it actually worked out a little bit in my favor. Didn't lose too much because I plan on that money coming back, then doubled it on Rory. So it wasn't too bad. But the goal, obviously, is to get one or two of those guys. But even though the handicaps weren't correct on, obviously, Tuesday, they're not the same as Wednesday. Like, hey, you can always joke about, hey, just bet the guy the next day. Well, you would if it made sense, right, if the number's in your direction. But three of those seven guys on Wednesday homered, and none of those guys had homered on Tuesday. Those are always a kick in the pants, especially Kevin Wentz. Look, we pick, like, let's just say Aaron Judge hit a home run, plus 280. He doesn't do it. He hits it the next night. It's like, yeah, it makes some sense. But some of those guys, like Joey Ortiz from Milwaukee, like, they're up there over 6-1. And it's like, ooh, I like this guy to hit a home run. He doesn't. First or second inning of the next day, just a launch pad. And I'm like, man, a 680 price, even at $25, is a nice account splash. So I'm looking for a couple shots today. I have, let me see, 8 games that I like players in, which totals what? 17 guys, which I might bet tonight. And I've been trying a lot of different ways to do it, sprinkling in. Here's what I did yesterday, Kevin, because you know I'm a big round robin guy. I didn't technically make money last night, but I really didn't lose money. Let's just say you can't juice out on those, right, because they're just straight wagers with no minus money. Yeah. But let me say if I put in $500 in bets, I think I got back like $440 or $460, something in that range, because I had a couple other things going on with parlays that I actually won yesterday, which was a Houston one on a 30% odds boost. But that's neither here nor there. I played it yesterday, and I'm talking like real light money. And when I say real light money, there's bets in there where it's times 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. On round robins. If anybody doesn't know what that means, round robins by twos means only two can match up. Like this guy versus this guy and another guy. You can't have like three or four times. The reason I'm bringing it up is you can go 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. Now the six ones are you need six different players to hit because they would all team up on each other. If you get five, it doesn't work. So it's kind of painful, but you're going for the lottery ticket. And some of those, Kevin, I wanted to make sure I played just for numbers purposes, right around $100 each. So I went 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, all for like $100. But they're limited. I mean, Kevin, I'm talking about when you get up to the sixes, it's like 25-cent wagers, but a couple hundred times around. You see what I mean? So it doesn't sound like much, but you can ring around the rosy a lot and make some money back. Now, granted, it's not going to be as if you're just playing three guys for $100 on a 300-round robin and you hit all three, it's like $3,000. You're not going to make that much, but I'm just trying to get the pathway down of what makes some sense. And I did match up the fives, but I actually didn't make any money because I needed like one or two more. The reason I'm bringing it up is the 1.5s, if anybody hasn't played this, they're so much fun. And here's how I do it too. I don't watch the games technically live to keep it up. I set my phone to give me the alerts. Like I use Bet365. The thing I like about that, Kevin, is you can set the alerts for every time you win a bet, it'll ping your phone and then ring your watch. So whenever something happens, like, hey, double in the gap that scores a run, pings, congratulations, you won this wager. I love that because you can't do that on any other sports book where it's like, oh, okay, I got to put in separate wagers. I got to watch it. Hey, let me just see if this guy's on third. So I enjoy doing that. But I'm just trying to find the measure of the 1.5, which is the run scored, base hits, or RBI market. I think it's fantastic. I don't think you can hurt yourself as long as your handicaps are correct long term. And yesterday, let's just say I had, I don't know, Kevin, 17 guys. I think maybe 9 or 10 cashed in, but I don't know the correct philosophy just yet on which way I'm going. Is it smart to go 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s? Like, where is the sweet spot? That's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I still...
But, Kevin, I wasn't plus money on any one of those 2, 3, 4, 5s, or 6s yesterday. Yeah. None of them made me money, but barely lost money.
But now, because I know that plus is important, I know we've gone down this avenue, and I'm not trying to redirect you, but it's just me asking.
Yes.
It doesn't It won't pay if you do the just 2+ RBI round robin. Ultimately, like, you've gone down that monstrous avenue.
I have,
but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because you need two guys to connect then.
But here's the problem.
10 bag?
Here's the issue, though, because round robins get more expensive the higher you go. Now, the book does it appropriately. And the reason I'm saying this is, if you do a three-team round robin, or should I say a three-leg round robin, let's just say you do it for $100, which means that's a $300 wager. But to get two of the three with two RBI, it's kind of tough to do. Because the reason I'm trying to weigh the odds are is bet less, but put like 12 guys in there. Because the chances for four guys out of 12 to get two RBI, a lot better realistically than needing two out of three, you don't get paid. But obviously, if you're betting more, well, Donnie, why don't you just do that with 12? Well, then I'm laying out $6,000 on a round robin. I'm not doing that on like a Monday night. I don't need that stress in my life. So that's, I'm trying to find that like happy medium, because without a lot of, like, the ones I've been most happy with, though, to be honest, are the three round robins, $33.33 a piece, which is $99 a bet, right short of $100. Those are good because you can bet five of those for $500. Hopefully get one back, hits all three. You made money for the night. A couple of those guys get two back, and that works. But that's hard to do. Now, hear me out on this. On the runs, hits, and also RBI market, I actually think this might work out better, to be honest, because I saw a little bit of gotten lucky on Sunday. Bet a couple of those, but as you know, on Sunday, they're fluid markets on who's actually going to play. So two of my guys just got voided out. The one that hurt me was Kevin Pillar. Pillar gets voided out. He's my favorite RBI guy on the day. Kevin gets one at bat late in the seventh inning. Of course, he knocks in a couple RBI with that at bat.
Yeah.
It voids it out. You don't lose it, which is good. Trust me. Like, oh, that stinks. You should have got paid. No. Trust me, your guy doesn't start and he doesn't play and gets one pinch hit where nobody's on base in the ninth inning and you lose that bet, that's ridiculous. I'm glad some books actually voided out the one I use. But we'll carry this over into the next segment. I actually think I stumbled into something good, because let's just say Stanton and Judge, which it's the same game, it doesn't even matter at this point because it's not a round robin. Let's just say I had Stanton, Judge, and Willie Calhoun. You'd never do that because you would need Willie Calhoun to hit, otherwise you don't get paid anyway if Stanton and or Judge get an RBI, because it's the same game. But one of the guys got voided. Both of those guys got one over 1.5, and it paid really well. You see what I mean? It might be better just to go parlay than round robin. We'll talk about this much more after the break and a lot more ahead right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking through some betting this afternoon. We'll get to the NBA game once again tonight and sort of double back on the Pacers and the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. A lot of hot topics. By the way, Kevin, OTAs, organized team activities, which I think are voluntary right now in the NFL, getting to camp. Anything brewing? Because the one thing I keep on getting an eye on is, here's why I love OTAs. Not because we watch guys in shorts run around, but you see who is going to be a problem this summer, which means the beat writers go, Michael Parsons didn't show up today. Neither did CeeDee Lamb. T. Higgins, he's pissed. Like, you get this around the league, and it's rightfully so, because guys that want more money, the way you tell your team you want more money, even though your agents probably call them every day, is don't show up to training camp. Don't show up to training camp as a last resort, but don't show up to any of the OTAs. Because it's one thing we know about coaches. They can't stand when everybody is not in the building when they were supposed to be. So it exudes a little bit of pressure on who you can get back. Now, the one I saw yesterday, late last night, that Adam Schefter tweeted out was T. Higgins. And rightfully, because I'm telling you right now with T. Higgins, people, he's on the worst team you can possibly be on. And when I say that is, well, Donnie, what do you mean? Cincinnati's really good. His quarterback's awesome. He's going to make a lot of money. Yes, he will under the tag. But Cincinnati is one of the few teams, which I remember back with the old San Diego Chargers, the way they were run, Kevin, they had a placement of policy that didn't care who you were as a player. If you didn't honor your contract, they would never renew it. They would never negotiate with you, and they would just tell you to stay home and suspend you from the team because they don't want to set a precedent for down the line because they don't want to pay anybody extra money. And if any, you're probably too young for this. This had to be in the early 2000s. Antonio Gates, remember the star tight end for the back then San Diego Chargers? One of the best tight ends in football, Kevin. He held out for like 3 days to get a new contract. They gave him a new contract, but the team had a policy that said if you hold out in the training camp, you are suspended for game one, regardless of what the conditions were. So he sat out game number one, which was who would do that? He's a signed player for weeks, but he had to sit out game number one because of their team policy. Also, if you remember with the Cincinnati Bengals, Carson Palmer basically went to the front office and goes, I don't care what happens. I don't even want to play football anymore because I hate this organization. Trade me. Wow. And they go, we're not going to honor that. We're going to sit you. So they sat him for an entire year. Now, they tanked their football team basically for a year because they didn't have their best quarterback on the field. But the Raiders bailed them out the following year by giving them two first-round picks, and they finally came to say, look, we can't even pass that one up. The reason I brought up those two options is T. Higgins is supposed to get paid. T. Higgins is watching everybody in his same spot get paid $75, $80, $90 million in guaranteed money when he got tagged by the Bengals. And the Bengals are going like, that's your contract. You're going to play under that. Now, he should have got paid a long time ago, no doubt about it. But Justin Jefferson's going to get paid before camp. CeeDee Lamb, he's probably going to get paid before he heads the camp. If you are T. Higgins right now, how do you show up to camp, even though I understand to the common man, $21, $22 million is an unbelievable amount of money. But everybody in your same boat got massive contracts to play, and rightfully so. How does he play on that contract? Because he's not showing up, he said, to training camp either.
I don't think he is. I really don't believe T. Higgins is going to play. And I don't think it's silly to think that he'll be traded. It's only May, right? Don't usually some of these deals, June is the kick-in date, or July. So I think there's a lot of time. Like, I'll give you, this would be a silly example, but I think it'll land for people. I did a Dynasty Fantasy Football draft, Donnie, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was heavily coveting T. Higgins and drafted T. Higgins. Not because I think he's a special talent, which I do, because I think he's getting traded off of Cincinnati, and we all know what it looks like when T. Higgins is wide receiver one in an offense. It's 80, 90 yards a game. And I think he's going to be moved off of this team.
Let me ask you this question, too, because, again, it's here's the one true thing in sports, and now it's even trickling down to the NHL. Like, Kevin, it almost doesn't matter what you do. You print money in professional sports. It's a monopoly unlike any other, which means if you're the Bengals, Kevin, and you have the highest payroll in the league or the lowest payroll in the league, and your fans don't really care and they're apathetic, you make so much money on a year-to-year basis that it doesn't matter. So if you're and I talk about like the family-run teams. There are teams that are run by a conglomerate that just buy NFL teams for, number one, they want to make a profit, but number two, money is of no object to them. They just want to win Super Bowls and away they go. But teams that are run like the Cincinnati Bengals, where like dad bought the team for $175 in 1925, but that's all we do in our football family here is, and they still make a ton of money, but the Bengals are run that way. If you remember, like just a few short years ago, I always told you the story about Jerry Jones behind the scenes like 15 years ago when they couldn't come together on a CBA, and the small market teams like Cincinnati, we can't make enough money. And Jerry Jones goes, give me the rights to your stadium. I'll make you like an extra $40 million next year. No. My dad's name is on that stadium. That's the way they're run, just completely backwards. But we'll get into this topic a little bit more of what is going to happen with T. Higgins, pay or no pay, and what they should do. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ooh, it's us.
All right. Coming out on stage. Is this Tatum swinging the mic over his head? Walking out, bouncing around. Hey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be a 30-point night right there. Like,
can't
that's what I need. I need somebody to rescue me with a big win, and, you know, we'll pay some homage to that. But certainly, if you haven't seen any of those viral videos going around, why did it take so long also? It's like AI is just new where you can just put a guy in there and just, like, have him walk out on stage, and it doesn't matter who it is. Like, I even see, like, they put, like, Howie Roseman, the Eagles general manager, in Yachty's place and going out there. You could do anything. The Joker I've seen out there. Even, yes, the Joker himself, Nikola Jokic, as well, doing that stuff.
Yeah.
I like that AI. I wish I knew more about AI.
chance
that I can do it.
I think, like, if you use, it's got to be, like, easy to make, like, through TikTok or something like that.
Probably
because it's just, it's, I don't know. I can't figure it out. It's a little wild. Sometimes it's a little jarring. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, this isn't for me.
But we're sitting here in the middle of May, and then it turns into June, Kevin, which is, you know, 10 days away or less than 2 weeks away.
No doubt.
July is football season. Like, baseball has my center of focus, like, right through to about, I don't know. Well, the Phillies are really good, so obviously it'll be a little bit different this year. Usually it's like, all right, let me wait till September till the Phillies get good. But, like, July means football teams go to training camp. The reason I'm bringing this up now is I think the T. Higgins situation is fascinating. So I wanted to ask Kevin if he was a general manager. Not the way the Cincinnati Bengals operate their team. But let's be real with this. Like, it's crazy, Kevin. Like, the Bengals, if you said right now, and most normal organizations, this guy's angry. I don't think we can pay him. Even though the Philadelphia Eagles told you, you can pay your quarterback record-breaking money, you can pay your top receiver record-breaking money, and pay your number two almost record-breaking money, and so have way money below the salary cap. Because NFL owners that are like, you know what, I want to win, and I have a lot of money in the bank, I'll pay those upfront salaries to give them a lot of bonuses. That's the reason why I'm going back to T. Higgins. Like, if the Bengals are actually having their, like, let's write the, okay, look, we don't want to go over a certain amount because we like to make this much. We're going to have to pay Jamar Chase, which the best part about it is they're going to have to fight with Jamar Chase as well in a little bit, which quite frankly he should already have a deal in place, and we'll see if that even happens. But you paid your quarterback. If they're saying, Kevin, like, T. Higgins, we can't afford the guy, is it better to say, well, he is going to be so unhappy this season, and I don't want to go back to the Lamar Jackson days, right, where legitimately he had a knee injury and didn't play, but the speculation always was like, look, man, the Ravens believed in me and gave me this money. I know this might be a little bit detrimental, but I'm giving it a go, even if it wasn't the best thing. When you are in a situation like T. Higgins going, like, all right, my hamstring is hurt, instead of making it really worse, just put me on IR to end the season, and I'm going to be a free agent, and I'll make bank. As opposed to, they paid me, they love me, this is my squad, I got guaranteed money in the bank. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can push through this and us win some football games. How do you handle T. Higgins if the goal behind the scenes is, we're not going to pay him, and we know he wants to get paid?
Yeah, I think, again, it's as simple as trading him, right? But it's, all right, we have to try and figure out when is our, the best time for us to do that, you would have believed, Donnie. And I felt like that would have been the draft, right? You would have thought that that would have been the perfect situation. And you know, hey, draft a Brian Thomas Jr., draft an Xavier Worthy, right? That would have all been there on the table. You know, this team drafts Jermaine Burton in the third round, and because of this situation, you have everybody being like, oh, okay, how about this? Now what we're going to see here is Burton step in, Higgins will be gone. So everybody still thinks they're going to get rid of him. Maybe they feel they have more leverage now that they've drafted Burton. They can tell teams they don't need to. But there is, for me, doesn't it feel like there's a level of stubbornness in Cincinnati of, no, we'll lose him for free. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Joe's healthy. We have T. Higgins. Like, that is almost how it comes off to me.
Yeah, like, we'll get the bonus pick next year, or compensatory pick of a third rounder if we lose him. But I just think, like, healthy franchises are always, like, proactive. Like, we're about to have an issue. The draft is coming up. We can flip this guy. Let's just say somebody's going to give us a late one for T. Higgins. We'll take that. We can package our third pick, our third round pick, and we can move up into the top 15 and be like, hey, Jamar Chase, here's your new wide receiver, Rome Odunze, and away you go. We don't have to pay Rome for 5 years. We're going to have to pay Chase next year. But it just seems it's one of those where they go, no. We put this is what you guys, collective bargaining agreement, which is technically rightfully so, you'll play under this 1 year contract or you won't play at all. We're not trading you. And also, you want to sit out, you go ahead and do that. We're not moving you. And next year we'll tag you again. Which, it's always good to put the fear in the player, but when it just hurts the bottom line of your football team, that's where I always get upset about it. Because it's one thing to take a stand on a player, it's another to be like, you know what, we had first rounders out there, but we're not going to set a precedent where Jamar Chase next year goes, I want to leave and I'm not playing, and then we have to trade him. Which, you know what handles all that, Kevin? Really good football players? Just pay them. Just pay them.
Yep.
Because they're good football players. It's not as if you're saying, like, boy, T. Higgins, 3 straight years. Like, it's Michael Thomas down in New Orleans. Hey, Michael Thomas wants a new deal, and they go, what, are you kidding me? You haven't even played in 3 years. We're not giving you anything. Mm-hmm. And the fans are like, you know what? We're not giving him anything. But a player who you drafted round number one has been nothing but a really good wide receiver in the middle of his prime, and if you keep him, Chase, and Burrow there over the next 5 years, you're going to do damage. And instead, you're like, we're not going to pay you $5 million more a year because that's what you want. We'd rather you just sit out. And the next wide receiver, which is Jamar Chase, will do the same thing to him, and maybe it'll scare him into being forced onto the field. I can't stand that.
Yeah, it's the whole thing's super weird. I think the bigger question is, Sonny, can you come up with a handful of teams, 4 or 5, where you go, okay, that's the T. Higgins landing spot? Mm. Because one of the first that'll come to mind, I'm sure, is Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you think they're willing to send T. Higgins to Buffalo? Do you think it matters? Chiefs sent Tyreek to Miami, kept him, right in the fold.
Exactly, but they're different franchises. And what I mean by that is Andy Reid is going to say, we'll send Donovan McNabb to Washington because Washington's giving us the best deal, and we'll trust that. We're done with McNabb. Let's use this, we're getting an extra. Instead of getting the normal 3, they're giving us a 2, and we're going to take it. They're mm-hmm. willing to do that. But also just being petty like Cincinnati, again, just sticking to their guns, like, this is actually going to help the franchise. I remember, Kevin, they drafted, Andre Smith out of Alabama. And this is probably good at least 10 years ago. Andre Smith, I believe, was, let's just say, I don't remember exactly, 8th or 9th overall, right? So they pick him there, and they said, well, we had him on the board as like 13th overall. And the agent goes like, well, we're pretty much slotted at this point. Just give us what the 8th overall pick is worth. They go, no. We're going to pay him what the 13th overall pick is worth, even though he went 8th, because that's where we feel he should have went. That's the Bengals organization. Like, nothing they do money-wise makes some sense in order just to be cheapskates. And for the longest time, no practice facility, had to like pay for your own socks, and the meals, you only got like one a day. Like, that type of franchise, which is wild, which is why I keep bringing it up. But you're like, you should. Like, if Buffalo's like, hey, look, man, we're still in our window. Tegan's going to be good. We want to pay him. We'll give you a 1, which will turn out to be like 28th overall next year. But at least you get a 1 back and can help your franchise, which, Kevin, they probably would have did this year at the draft. And you could have drafted a player and put him right into play this year.
Oh, 100%. That's what's nuts. They could have had multiple first-round picks. There would have been plenty. I mean, Donnie, realistically, I know it would have been, like, would the Niners have considered it? I don't know, maybe. Like, maybe they felt like they could have got a deal done with T. Higgins a little bit easier than anybody else. Jacksonville, Donnie. Like, that's the thing. You probably lost a couple of teams where the Jags go, we drafted Brian Thomas. Yes, certainly Houston and the fact that they brought in Stephon Diggs, and they find that to be an easier situation. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's funny. A team like Denver, because Sean Payton's like, well, listen, I need players, man, because I'm going to leave if you don't get me players. Like, they'll probably still be on the phone. But, yeah, you kind of, the longer you wait, the more you shrink what is available to you. And that's what they've certainly done here. They've shrunk the group down.
And also, it is, again, a quirky franchise. And you had to pay Joe Burrow. You have to pay quarterbacks. They can't play hardball with Joe Burrow. And the more of these teams wait, we're going to get to Jacksonville's superstar quarterback in just a moment on what his demands are and see what makes sense there. But sometimes it's on the onus. And, sometimes I always bring it back to Philadelphia terms. Back in, I think it was, I want to say, like 2005 maybe, or it might have been before the T.O. debacle. Donovan McNabb really went to bat for Brian Westbrook. Pay the guy. T.O. wanted money. Donovan McNabb was silent. How did that work out for the Philadelphia Eagles? The locker room is not worked up. The reason why Breeze says, Joe Burrow, make a phone call. Get out in the press. I need T here. We got to pay this guy. Let's see if he can do that. We got more Hot Topics next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, having some fun with football. And by the way, like, again, this is just how excited I get about football in the year that we're going to have, with so much good stuff in place. The schedule's out. Interesting times. Thanksgiving Day is always fun. They got a good slate there. Christmas Day is fantastic. Playoffs, as you know, opening night, Thursday night, then the Eagles play on a Friday night. Just good stuff here. And I can't preach this enough. And again, it goes back a little bit for Cincinnati. If you have a good player, pay him. Pay him right away. Save yourself millions of dollars. So the next case I bring up is Trevor Lawrence, who's up for a contract extension. And Doug Peterson comes out and is like, basically, hey, we hope to get this done sooner than later. Like, again, as a coach, you never want the bad feelings or the bad vibes in the locker room. And if anybody says, like, you're under contract, you should play, consider yourself in your own job. When you look across the cubicles and you see Dave over there, and Dave just got a raise and does the same job you did, and your boss is like, hey, man, sit in your seat, be happy, and maybe I'll get around to you sooner than later. It doesn't work like that. When quarterbacks are supposed to get paid under the franchise guys, they want to get paid ASAP and a ton of money. Now, do I think he should be top of the table? No, because I don't think he's the best quarterback in the league. But that's not the way the quarterback structure works. It's next guy in line gets X amount of dollars, typically more than the previous guy back. Of course, there are exceptions like a Patrick Mahomes type of deal. But the people are like, oh, you play hardball with, why? So in one more year, you got to pay him an extra $15 million a season? Like, why do teams wait, Kevin? Like, Dak Prescott in Dallas. Jerry's like, well, no extension here. You know he's going to have a decent season. And you know it's going to cost you $20 to $40 million more on that contract in guaranteed money if you pay him next year instead of this year. Why do we wait on quarterbacks or star players anymore?
Well, listen, it's... I think the problem in Cincinnati specifically, Donnie, is they have two wide receivers to pay. And you're the one who's informed me about their historical lack of desire to pay their play. I mean, hell, remember the Burrow thing? Like, that never made any sense. It took them ages to figure out Joe Burrow, which was one of the easiest things in the world. And here's, I think, the problem. Whenever they pay to, let's just say they pay T. Higgins, right? Jamar Chase walks in and goes,
50% more, 25% more.
Way more, right?
That's the start,
When they, if they pay Chase first, and one of my favorite things you've ever said to me, and I don't even remember what the topic was, but you go, listen, sometimes to be an athlete, you have to be irrational. And you're like, oh, yeah, that landed for me. T. Higgins walks in and be like, all right, I'll take what Jamar got. What's Cincinnati going to say? You're not worth it? No. Chase is way better than you. Let's be normal. Then he's going to say, oh, really? Cool. Trade me. Bring me literally anywhere else. So as far as why Chase isn't paid, they cannot pay him if they want any hope of T. Higgins staying.
Correct.
Except... then they're going to have to pay Chase even more money, and he's going to get even more leverage in the situation. They just need to trade T. Higgins.
Sometimes it does just keep going back to the Eagles, but I think they threaded the needle so well. Like, they paid their quarterback a ton of money. Like, look, we understand the Slim Reaper out here, Devonta Smith, needs to get paid, but we have an absolute maniac on the opposite side that plays with him that even though he got a monster deal 2 years ago, he sees that account splash and knows that that guaranteed money is more than he got. What do they do? Hey, AJ, look, you're going to see news tomorrow that your boy's getting paid. We're on your foot. The minute we hang up with him and sign that contract, we're taking care of you. Like, it almost has to work the way you're right, because again, wide receiver, like, do you remember going back to the Julio Jones, Andre Johnson saga that was like three straight years? Like, you're not supposed to do this in the NFL. But again, I credit like teams, like I used to blast Houston because I couldn't stand their head coach, but their general manager and their owner was correct. Like, Andre Johnson, we think, is the best player in football at the wide receiver position. I don't care if he asks every single year for a renewed contract. Keep him happy. It's good for our football team, and we can afford it. And it was in the contract. It was like, Julio Jones would be like, I'm the highest paid player. And Andre Jones would be like, I'm not even showing up at camp unless I get at least a dollar more than this guy. Like, whew, avoided that this year, thank goodness. Next year comes up, Julio's like, oh, Andre got more than me. I'm a dominant player. Mr. Blank, give me more money. Okay, and then Andre Johnson goes, I'm not even showing up to camp this year until I get a dollar more than that guy. I love that stuff. But superstar players are always on a different pedestal. Like, I never understood, like, well, if the next guy does, well, if the next guy's a superstar, pay him then. Like, I under, like, hey, the third string fullback wants more money than the second string fullback. Brother, sit on the sideline. I don't care if you ever play again for me. But when you play hardball with your best players, it never makes sense. Like, honestly, like if Patrick Mahomes, who just got his deal restructured, Kevin, wins another Super Bowl and goes like, I don't give a damn what you paid me last year. You know what they do in Kansas City? Patrick, what do you want? Done. I don't care what it is. We joked about Debo Samuel in San Francisco. They're like, Debo, what's the issue? It's not money. Like, they're the San Francisco's like, here's a blank check. Fill it out and get back to us. Like, no, I'm not happy with something else. Same thing with Stephon Diggs. Getting like 130 catches a year going like, I'm not happy here. Like, is it money? What is it?
Well, this is why Howie, right, always gets the praise that he does. He managed to pay Devonta Smith and get A.J. Brown more money in the same offseason before Cincinnati figured out. But here's the thing. It's not just Cincinnati. You, like, the Cowboys are going to have to pay CeeDee Lamb.
The Cowboys are in trouble.
Yes. Right? I don't know what they're doing. But here, but like, you go, oh, okay, it's Jerry. Someone explain to me what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings and Justin Jefferson. Because allow me to play the Donnie role.
Go ahead.
What do I mean by that? Well, Donnie used to always tell us that Lamar Jackson was asking for the shirt off everyone's back in that organization, ownership of the franchise. The only explanation for the Justin Jefferson deal not being done is he actually is asking for Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert money, and I think I believe it. I think I believe he's actually asking for franchise quarterback money.
It has to be. Like, when you talk about, like, contracts that can be, like, I don't know, 30 pages long, it feels like his might be 275 pages long because you're right. When the general manager basically opens the offseason and goes, I got the best wide receiver in football. We're going to pay him more money than anybody's ever paid a wideout, and that deal isn't done. That means it's like, hey, look, we're willing to pay you the top money. It's like, that ain't good enough, man. You want me? You traded Kirk Cousins away. You know I might go through with you a learning curve. That better be a financial mistake that you make up to me in those first couple years as that learning curve gets underway. Because I always tell you this, me being a wide receivers want the ball more than any shooting guard in the NBA. And yes, they want to make money, but you can't pay a wide receiver $50 million and have him catch 38 balls. They'll go nuts and they'll go to an insane asylum. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. By the way, did you notice here, Kevin? I noticed this stuff. I even brought it up on the morning show, too, just out of nowhere. We talked last week about the worst throwback uniforms in the history of professional sports, which is probably now going to be the New York Giants, who had a throwback uniform that not a single person alive ever remembers and is getting widely panned. Well, there was a reporter, and I want to say it was a Giants beat reporter, maybe even like a Giants in-house reporter. Every team has these. And they must have had a function. They asked Malik Nabers, like, what he thought about, like, the uniform. And he put it best, like, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was basically like, it's going to be hard to, like, swag or drip this uniform out. And he said, that's all I'll say, which meant, this is so hideous. Like, I can't even get excited by this. Because me, I was joking this morning about being a wide receiver. Like, I cared sometimes more about how I looked before the game than how I played in the game, because that's our mindset out to, like, look good, play good. But the fact that a young kid with swag was like, I don't even know if I can take care of this uniform when we put it on. I was like, he should have just came out and said it. Like, I hope they take these off the rack right now. We never have to wear these. But I got a kick out of the young superstar. I hasn't played a down in the NFL. I was like, I don't even think I could swag this uniform out, to be honest.
We're up against tough it
scene.
Here.
Tough scene.
I got it. You know what's been? It's the Malik Nabers situation in general has been a tough scene because, and it's not necessarily his fault, but every single thing you hear around Malik Nabers so far has been negative. Like, it's like, oh, man, you know, he called off that bet with Jaden Daniels after one practice with Daniel Jones.
Oh, I love that. That's a great story. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, man, this is just going to be an ugly, ugly season, isn't it? Like, they're never going to find any peace here, potentially. It's
Ferrari and a wide receiver, and it's Daniel Jones. Like, you could have hit the reset button this year. And I think every Giants fan would be like, you know what? Even if you didn't think, like, the next quarterback in line, whoever it was going to be, was like, ooh, that's going to be really exciting. You knew it was the right move for the franchise because you don't go anywhere without a quarterback. And like, okay, man, we got an awesome young wide receiver. It's like, we got a quarterback that doesn't really throw the football. It's like so counterproductive, which is hilarious that it's the Giants doing it. And then they compound it by putting up bad uniforms and sticking with Daniel Jones after a while. And I hope Daniel Jones plays well enough, which means 19 touchdown passes. They're like, you know what? We don't have to get rid of this guy. We could keep that contract going and renegotiate it.
Yeah. The thing is, they did box themselves in for this season. It's just, it was such a neat, I don't know, man. Truly, like, there are some Giants fans and who will never apologize to me specifically. Because, Donnie, you weren't in the office, like, so you didn't have to hear people call me bias. Because I said they shouldn't pay Daniel Jones. It's just the
if we ever have interns around the network that can just put a montage of about maybe a 3-month banging on the head of Daniel Jones and that laugh, because it's one of those where you put yourself out there, which it could have landed badly. Like, hey, well, Daniel Jones is a Pro Bowler. They went to the Super Bowl. It's like, damn, we had some really bad takes. But those were the takes where it would be like, Kevin, write this down right now, because if it doesn't come true, we're going to fire you from this network. And I still think we would have signed our names on the dotted line that that's how confident we were, like, that Daniel Jones making all of that money made absolutely no sense. And then you're right. Your favorite talking point was the contract was so good that you can get out of it in 2 years. It's like, who does that? Your franchise guy, the best part about that contract was, if he stinks out loud, we don't have to pay the guy after 2 years. It's like, yeah, I think we figured it all out at that point.
Again, the point I always make, I have no idea when the Eagles can get out of the Hurts contract, and I don't need to know. I have no idea, and I don't
AJ Brown's got a short fuse. At the end of the year, Howie put like this escape clause in. That's an unbelievably good deal. Like, no, nobody thinks that way. On guys you want to be there for 5 to 10 years, man, they negotiated a great deal. Boy, they paid him way too much. Yeah, but listen up. I know they overpaid him at $40 million a year for 2 years, but they can get out after 2 years. Like, come on, man. You want to be talking about after 2 years, it's a bargain, and oh my God, we're going to have to pay the guy more.
Like, usually in those big breaking reports, it's like, oh, wow, blockbuster deal. Giants land their man. And it was like, Giants signed Daniel Jones a 4-year deal. Don't worry. It's only 2 years. It's going to be on the streets in no time. I mean, oh, my goodness. Dinger Tuesday, though, DRS. We got to figure out this baseball board, man.
Yeah, Ramirez, Naylor, Sanchez, Profar, Santana, Bellinger, Rangifo. I'll tweet out every one of my home run shots tonight. A lot of people ask me, what's your RBIs? Where are they at? I'm telling you, I'm working on stuff behind the scenes. And the one thing you know from me, Kevin, I don't like to just post willy-nilly, take this bet tonight because I love him. Like, well, I want to see how that works out. Like, we got to have hard facts here to come. And again, I'm putting some handicapping behind those home run shots that I think actually make the most sense. Therefore, I'll put those out. Super boost here on Bet365, Kevin. Pacers Celtics, Tatum to get 25-10 plus 200. I don't know about that. Is Tatum getting 10 boards tonight?
Yeah.
25? Yeah. Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Huh. Yeah.
I'm going to have some juice here. JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Thanks for tuning in to a Tuesday edition of Moneyline. We'll be back tomorrow. Peace.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.